Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Mahani Jahangiri, and welcome to Conversations with My Dog.
Today's guest is Vicky Marie Gossard, a freelance writer and personal trainer. She was the health, fitness, and beauty editor at Metro newspaper for 16 years, but has recently swapped her London life for a Zen one in Surrey. Overall, she has had 20 years' experience writing across topics of health, fitness, fashion, beauty, and well-being. Her content includes investigative news stories, feel-good features, Hollywood reality celebrity interviews, and trend reports predictions. Now, it is such an honor to welcome Vicky Marie Gossard at the show today. Hello, Vicky.
Hello.
Did I say it right, your name? Kossar.
Yeah, that's right. It's actually Kossar. I'm actually married now, so I still use Kossar, which is my maiden name, for work.
Oh, I see. And I always want to say Gossar for some reason. And I did Kossar. Is this a British surname? Or is it French? Or,
no, it? I think I've been told it might be Maltese or it's Scottish.
Wow.
I know.
Incredible. But it's beautiful. It's actually, it stays with you. Your name is really imprinted in my forehead. You know, it's amazing. So how are you today? How's it going? Where are you at the moment?
So I'm based out in Banstead in Surrey. And it's been a tough year. Not as tough as most people, I can imagine. But we moved at the start of last year and spent 2 weeks at my parents'. What was supposed to be 2 weeks at my parents, while we had did a big, the house was empty for about 4 years. We did a big refurb on the house. It was supposed to be 2 weeks just as the pandemic hit and we were locked down. So 2 weeks turned into 2 months of all of us, including the dog, all in one room, which was interesting.
Oh my goodness, in one room, like literally in one room.
Obviously we could go out into my parents' living room and stuff, but I was trying to work in the bedroom, and the twins, we've got twins, 3-year-old twins now, and my husband and me, the dog. So yeah, it's been a hard lockdown, but we're back in the house now. So that's, you know, a bit of a luxury compared to what we were.
But you're a London girl, aren't you? Your London life. I mean, what you've worked for the Metro 16 years, is that correct?
Yeah, 16 years. I kind of moved around.
Yeah. Oh, you do. So you, because I thought maybe you had to be based in London to get hold of all these trends that you were writing about.
No,
so I'm just wondering.
Not at all. No, I've never lived in London. I just always used to travel in.
Right. I had a feeling you were in London doing everything, every activity, because, you know, you said, I remember when I met you at Doga, in Doga, you said, oh, I have to go to a trampoline class, and then I'm doing a stripping class next door. And you had all these things that you had to write about. You were running around. You were always running around.
Yeah, it was a very crazy time of my life, to be honest with you. You'd get up in the morning and you'd have to kind of travel into London, and then you'd go to like press launches and stuff in the morning, or breakfast meetings with PRs, straight into the office to do whatever you needed to do, out for lunch to train because I did fitness. I always had to be like peak physical fitness. Back to the office, and then in the evening it was testing classes, going to launches, meeting people for interviews. It could be anything. It was constantly like high octane, always on the go.
Oh my God. And could you ever imagine going back to that pace?
Oh, I loved it.
See, I knew it. That's it.
So some people say, oh, I really like the lockdown. I'm like, are you mad? No. Are you mad? I'd give anything for a brunch. I'm just so bored, you know. It's, but yes, I mean, we were, everything was very fast paced. I mean, it'll be really hard to come back. You'd be exhausted after breakfast, I think.
But I think that's been good for people, just to have that moment to reflect. You know, I know we're in a pandemic and it's obviously, people don't see it that way, but in years to come, we'll look back at this time. I think, God, wasn't that lovely? I didn't have to get up and I didn't have to do that commute, and I could make dinner for my family, and I spent real proper time with my kids and my husband or whoever. And, you know, I actually spoke to my mum once a week on the phone or Zoom calls, you know, and we'll look back and be grateful.
I feel with this lockdown is that what you're meant to be doing really comes through. I mean, I'm a yoga teacher for 22 years. I've taught Ashtanga yoga for 22 years. And just recently, I left my job at Planet Organic, which was part-time. Long story. Anyway, suddenly everybody wants to do Zoom classes. Everybody is asking me, Mani, are you teaching on Zoom? And I'm like, Zoom? Are you serious? And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, well, actually, this is my calling card. Because it is what, you know, this is my profession. This is my passion is to teach yoga. And I just wanted to just ask you, I mean, as a fitness instructor yourself, journalist and everything, what do you think about Zoom? What do you think about personal training on Zoom? Does it work for you?
It doesn't work for me because I have 3-year-old twins at home. So when they do the lives, I can't always get on. But for me, I found that Instagram has been a fantastic source for fitness, because when we first went into lockdown, everybody, every single personal trainer, every Pilates teacher, everybody went straight to Instagram and were posting things, like posting little workouts and snippets and this, that and the other. So you could really get a feel for what people were doing and have a look at what you liked, what you didn't like, get a feel for different things, because it was all free. You know, you couldn't do that before. You'd have to pay £20, go to a class in London and decide then whether you liked it. So for me, Instagram was the kind of the thing. And then as Zoom slowly took off, because Zoom started to be, for me personally, it was just about catching up with friends and family. And then it kind of went a bit crazy for work purposes and then for fitness and stuff. So, you know, with the lives, it's hard for me to jump on, but I think it's been beneficial for so many people at home because they've got nothing else to do. A lot of people are really bored.
I know. I mean, I'm doing doga on Zoom as well. And people just don't know, but it actually works really well. I mean, they're so grateful if I give them the extra attention. And, you know, they feel like I'm in their room with their dog, giving them that extra. It's something very, very special, actually. And were you reluctant at the beginning with digital? Were you always a digital person or a live person, you know?
I'm a touchy-feely kind of person, so I like to be with people, and I find you get a much better rapport with someone when you can see their facial expressions better. You know, there's a lot of hand movements, a lot of contact, and you don't always get that with Zoom. So I find they can be, and also the connection's a bit stilted sometimes. So, you know, you can't build up. When I do an interview over Zoom, I really struggle because you can't build up that rapport. You don't get that feel for someone like you do in real life. So yeah, I was a bit reluctant to start with.
Yeah, I was just wondering, your interviews, that must be very different. Do you think body language, eye contact, all this, you know, helps you to conduct a better interview?
Of course, yeah. Like when I used to do the big interviews for Metro with, you know, Dieter Von Teese and, you know, Kate Hudson and those kind of calibre of celebrities, you have to meet them in real life to kind of get a feel for them. And I remember meeting Dieter Von Teese, and she was like incredibly doll-like and like D-O-L-L. She just was so porcelain and so perfection and so dainty and tiny. She just looked like if you would touch her, she would break. And obviously that's a massive factor in an interview, because you're kind of giving people the colour surrounding her and her aura and everything about her. But you'd never get that on the phone or a Zoom. Not really.
Oh, you never do. You never do. So what in the Metro, what was your specific job? Were you, if you can just describe what you were doing for the last 16 years specifically.
No, it's okay. When I went into Metro, I was, I think I was a secretary. I kind of was made redundant from my previous role, which was in magazines. And found any job basically within the media. Metro had just launched, so no one really knew anything about it. So I kind of went in and then very quickly moved over to their editorial team and just moved up through the ranks, really, because Metro was so small, it was growing all the time. So we went from editorial to senior editorial assistant and had someone working for me there, and then went over to the features department as a features assistant, then became a writer and would just write on random different pages within the section, and then became a style editor. That was my first proper role within there when the style editor went on maternity leave. I covered for her, and that was like being thrown in at the deep end. Like, I really had to do my research and kind of, because fashion is just, you know, heritage, isn't it? So that was really hard work. And then just evolved, really, did a bit of health, did a bit of fitness, did a bit of sex stuff, you know, just really kind of put my fingers in all the pies, did some tech, did some gadget stuff, travel. You know, I've been really lucky with my job. It's very broad, my career. So I am very lucky. I'm very grateful to Metro for that.
I'm very grateful to you, because you launched Doga. You were the first one to write about Doga. And if we just go back, I mean, how did you find me?
I don't know. I was thinking this. I don't remember.
I was in Harrods Pet Spa. I was doing the first Doga session at Harrods. I had quite a good platform, whether that was something, because you were the first. You were the absolute first feature. Yeah.
So honoured.
I mean, I know, and I it was incredible, because from there everything took off, just absolutely everything. I was in every TV show, and then I did Made in Chelsea with Robbie. We had like a 30-second Doga session with Twinkie, Binky, Winky, and all of them. And then I got a book deal, and you made that happen. It's just crazy with that feature. It's just, it was crazy how Doga took off. Everybody had seen the article, and I didn't have a place. I still don't have a place. It's funny how, you know, I started in Harrods, and then I sort of worked my way down to doing Doga in a pub or something. I don't know how that happened, but somebody at Harrods Pet Spa heard of me and said, would you like to try Doga at Harrods? We're going to give you that space at the pet spa. What was it? The fourth floor where they were selling puppies and fur. So not a good thing. But anyway, but me and Robbie started off there. Robbie was only about 6 months old. And it was just incredible to have Harrods as the platform. And I think that's how you heard about it. You must have heard about it.
It must have been a PR from there, yeah. Oh, I'm really glad for you, Moni. It's been a good journey for you as well, I think, you know, especially with the book deal and stuff.
I think entrepreneurs, with the entrepreneurship, I never saw it as a job, Doga. I saw it as passion. And so I did everything freely. I never thought about a business plan or a studio. It all just slowly evolved. And then being on telly and all this crazy stuff that happened, Britain's Got Talent, you know, I didn't have a manager to really manage and build up Doga into a brand and all that stuff, which I think is a bit of a shame, because I was all over the place. But I think now you can harness everything. And with the digital age, you can really build up a brand, especially with the podcast now that I have, a Doga meditation. People will hear about Doga a lot more through the podcast and find out what Doga really is about, because it isn't what people think. It's not doggy yoga. Do you remember your first Doga class? Can you describe what it's like? What was your thought behind Doga?
I remember going into the class, and obviously my dog is a chocolate Labrador. His name's Buster. He's 10 years old now, so he's a bit of a lump. He's still sprightly, bless him, but he's very docile. And I just remember going in, and there was all these crazy dogs were running about, and I just thought, oh my god, what have I let myself in for? And Buster was just kind of like, what is going on here? He was more interested in the dogs, which is fantastic for him because he's very social. And it wasn't, because obviously Robbie's very small, so when you were lifting Robbie up and doing all these like demonstrations, I thought, oh my god, I'm never going to pick him up. It's more like a weight session for me with him. But then obviously the explanation comes from about him being weight bearing and you being able to do different things with a bigger dog compared to a smaller dog. And, you know, I remember the photos. The photos were fantastic. They're still some of my favourite photos of Buster ever.
Absolutely. I saw it. I opened the Metro and I just went, ah, it's me. Oh, it's Vicky as well. And Marnie, Marnie, Vicky and a dog. And I was so proud because we both were lined up and you did a really nice trikonasana. And normally journalists, now that I have to say, sorry, but so many journalists are just absolute shit in yoga. They have no alignment. And there would often journalists would come and it was the most horrendous picture. I would say, why did they put themselves in that picture? Honestly, it really looks like they're just imitating something. But I remember ours was like completely aligned with Buster. You know, yeah. It was a trick in asana, wasn't it? And you really looked up into your hand. I could see, you know what, you know your shit, basically. Sorry if I may say on this podcast. But, you know, it's something else when somebody actually, when a journalist comes in and actually understands yoga. And you did. You had yoga experience previously, didn't you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not really. Like, I'd done a couple of classes, but, you know, I think it was just good guidance, Marnie, to be fair. Like, you told me what to do and I kind of just did it. So, yeah, it's good instructor.
Oh, thank you so much. And I think there was a moment where we had the photo shoot. And was it Buster who then started to hump me from the front? He started grabbing me and taking my knee. And it was just so many funny photos and Robbie being just so territorial in all this. And it was at the Pirate Castle. I'm just thinking, you know, it was a little community. Well, not little. It's actually rather large community center, a hall along the Camden Canal. These beautiful spaces that, gosh, must be so empty at the moment, Vicky. It kills me that I can't do my yoga. There's so many spaces and we can't gather. And it's just, you know, because yoga is just such a great experience as a collective, isn't it? Coming together, dogs running around, we everywhere, and people sitting together and giggling, you know, and sort of breathing. And don't you miss those crazy moments? What was the craziest experience, apart from yoga, that you've had that you had to cover for the Metro, if I may ask?
Oh, God. There's been so many. So I've been to Basra. They flew me out to Basra to do a big article on the troops out there at Christmas. So we flew to Qatar in one of their military planes and then flew over in one of their, one of their helicopters, like a Black Island. I don't know what the names of them are. And had to do the army vests and kind of had the big talking from the general about, you know, this is a war zone. You've actually come to sleep in a war zone. Like, I would never let my daughter come here. And I was a bit like, oh, right, okay. Like 3 seconds in the shower, you get 3 minutes in the shower or something like that. 30 seconds to wash, water off to rub it in. 30 seconds for the water to rinse off. If you hear the siren, you run outside and jump on the floor. It doesn't matter if you're naked. That's kind of a highlight.
Holy Jesus.
Yeah. And what else have I done? I've been to base camp, Everest base camp.
Wow.
Yeah, we trekked from Kathmandu. It took a month to trek there. We had 3 nights on the actual base camp, which you're not allowed to do. We went with UCL. We did a testing zone there. We did something for the Sherpas. They were testing the Sherpas on how the Sherpas can manage to walk and carry on as normal at altitude, whereas us Westerners go up there and, you know, we get really bad issues. And, you know, it's something to do with the mitochondria within the Sherpas and how it's been developed. But we did a study up there and got to stay on Everest Base Camp for 3 nights, which was absolutely phenomenal.
My goodness, incredible. And did you do anything, you said you, did you do any funny kinky stuff as well? Like, you know, you said you were doing also research for a sex procedure or something. What was that all about?
So basically, yeah, I mean, just, you know. Sex service as well. Yeah, no. Wow. So, you know, there was a lot of different things that would come up. But one of the things that I remember is, oh God, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this. So there's an article that I wrote about a company called Killing Kittens. So I don't know if you've ever heard them, but it's basically for lesbian and bi-curious women to go to a sex party to find out if they are lesbians or bi-curious. You know, they can go, you could just go and dance, you know, you can go with a partner, you can go with a friend. Only single girls could go and couples, no single men, no men on their own could go. So it's, you know, a very safe environment. It's very highbrow. And we were very lucky to go to that and just kind of observe everything from the sidelines.
Incredible. From the side, literally from the sidelines.
Literally.
Oh my God. goodness, you've been everywhere. I know you're always busy. When I had the book launch, you came for 10 minutes. I remember you quickly popped over at Kensington High Street. What was it? Oh, gosh. Yeah, quickly. And then you're off to something else. And I said, how does she do it? It's incredible. Well, Buster has always been with you. But did you ever think you were going to have twins, children, family life?
Well, we always wanted twins.
Oh!
Yeah, So we always wanted twins, and then we possibly might have another one. But we did always want three kids. So, and we desperately wanted twins. So when they came along, it was like someone was listening, basically. It was a blessing. So obviously, it's been a really, really interesting 3 years with the girls. They're both girls, 3 years old now. And they're brilliant. They're sassy as hell, full of attitude, fiercely independent, and sweet as a button.
Oh my God, they might become journalists or something. Follow mummy's footsteps.
I think one's going to go into performing arts, and the other one's really fascinated with puzzles. So I don't know if she's going to go kind of down some academic route. I'm not really sure.
Or maybe to Parliament, maybe to sort Boris out or something, you know. Just, you know, it's a puzzle at the moment anyway. So if she can understand a puzzle, she'll probably sort out the whole pandemic. Even 20 years. You know, one of those geniuses, just genius brains, you know. And how has Buster, so they were born, when was it, a couple of years back? So you said three?
They're three now. So they were born in November 2017. And poor Buster, I mean, when I was pregnant, he just wouldn't leave my side. He had his head on me, and he often would sit in between my legs, so I'd have to like sit on the sofa with my like in a fetal position. He'd either spoon in or he was so good. He's so docile anyway. But we followed there's a dog trainer called Caesar.
Caesar Milan.
Yes, that's him. And we did a lot of research on how to introduce, because obviously there's two babies. It's a bit overwhelming for him. So we did a lot of research on how to introduce the twins to Buster and what to do and, you know, the correct way to go about it. Because I think he's fantastic. I do watch his stuff. And I think he's really good with the animals. He really cares. He's very strong-willed with them as well. And I mean, I don't for one minute ever think Buster would have hurt the girls or done anything, but we just wanted to introduce them correctly. And we followed that way, and he loves them, absolutely loves them.
So what happened when they came? Did you give birth in a hospital or at home? Or
hospital. They were 5 weeks premature. The smallest one, Evie, her umbilical cord was a bit patchy, so she wasn't growing as well. She was only 3.5 pounds, and Fleur was 4.9, so they were very tiny. So Evie went straight into a neonatal. She was in there for 3.5 weeks, and Fleur came home. But Buster was luckily at my mum's, so we kept him there until both the girls were home, and then we brought him over and introduced them.
Oh, and what happened then? Can you describe that moment, how Buster reacted? What did he want to lick their face or sniff?
No, he was very good. So we actually took the twins outside and brought Buster in, because they say not to bring him in so that they're kind of smothering his environment. So we had him in the house and settled him, and my mum was outside with the girls. And then we brought them in one at a time, and every time he jumped up, we told him to no down. Every time he jumped up, no down. And eventually he just laid down, and so we took the babies down to him, and he just kind of sniffed them and then just turned his head away like, oh, okay, is this new people? Okay.
That's amazing. And now how is the relationship? I mean, do the girls play with him or grab him, or have you taught them not to grab?
Or no, they don't grab him. They know not to grab him, but they do stroke him and they do kind of sit with him and stuff. And there's a lot of, oh, Buster, when he like goes on their puzzles and stuff like that. So, but he does take himself out the room often if they're having a little tantrum. I think it hurts his ears.
And do you still spend time with him alone? Do you miss those moments alone with your dog? Or
I'm with him every day. The girls are at nursery 3 days a week, so I work. So he'll often come and sit in my office. And because they go to nursery, I can spend that quality time with him over the park and stuff. So, yeah, we have a dog walker now, just one day a week to give him a bit of socialisation. And my dad takes him one day a week because he likes to get out of the house. But yeah, it's just me and Buster the rest of the time, isn't it, mate?
Oh, it's wonderful. And how is his health? How are the legs and everything with arthritis? Is he fine?
When he was born, he his kneecap wasn't where it was supposed to be. So we actually went to see Fitzpatrick, you know, the vet, the bionic vet.
No way, you went there. Oh my God, yeah. You met him. No way.
Well, I didn't meet him. It was the guy under him that did the operation. But yeah, we had to go and take him to him. I think Buster was 3 months old. But he wasn't insured. You know, when you're still looking around, and we just moved into a flat, and it was all these things that had happened, and we just hadn't picked an insurance company. We had them all out, and then we discovered that his knee was, you know, a bit skew if. By the time the operations had all been done and the pins and the wire and stuff, it was like $2,500 later. but worth every penny. But yeah, he's all right. He's just got really bad arthritis in his back legs. So we have to take the walks very slowly, cut them right down for an hour now. He's on like 40 minutes. And if he starts limping, we just don't go out the next day. We just have a quick walk and lots of cuddles.
And did you do any more dog activities with Buster as a journalist? Did you try other doggy things that are good?
There was one that I was going to do, but it always falls on my birthday. So poor Buster always missed out. But it's like a dog obstacle course, you know, like when the obstacle courses for people really took off, like the Tough Mudders and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There was one that was completely aimed at dogs. So you would go through water, and it was a bit of agility for the dogs and you. And I really wanted to take him on that, but it just never happened. So no, Doga's my exclusive doggy activity.
Oh my God. And do you see Doga growing in the future? Maybe, you know, after this whole pandemic, you know, can you see it as a studio, a yoga studio eventually?
Definitely. I was going to say to you when you were talking about this, because there's so many small businesses that have been taking off, and especially during lockdown, and there's no PR for them. There's actually been an agency that's set up. I think it's called PR for the People. I'm not sure how it works. It's a membership, and the PRs kind of don't have the $2,000 monthly retainers that you have to pay. It's like a very small membership fee, and it's basically for people and small businesses that want to promote themselves or their business. And it's a fantastic platform. It's really new.
Oh, fantastic. That sounds great, because it was always the retainer that was the problem. I mean, they do want a lot of money up front.
Exactly.
And I was, that is amazing, because the Zoom classes go very well. I mean, I had private doga as well, one-to-one, and it still works. It's very profound, the stuff that I do, and a lot of healing work at the moment. You know, I do a lot of Reiki, psychic reading for dogs, all sorts of things. It keeps coming through, and it's just a natural progression, you know. But I really think doga should have its own studio. And the question is, where? Where in the world will there be the first doga studio? It has to happen. I think this is the whole reason why I'm here on this planet.
I think we'll have to look at the demographic and find out where the most people have dogs, and who's more likely to travel to a studio. I mean, it's great in London to have a studio in London, but I wouldn't assume that many Londoners have a dog, because, you know, there's not that many green spaces, and, you know, that it's a very busy lifestyle in London, isn't it? It's more on the
Yeah, side. I noticed that. I was also thinking Zurich, people have money and time and dogs everywhere. There's just, it's just a dog city. It is really. And I was like, oh, maybe I could kick off here, you know, for the first time. Who knows wherever it's going to take me. How do you see fitness develop in the next few months? How do you think we'll be outdoors jumping around? How do you see what you're looking for the new trends out there in the next few months in London, the UK?
Predict something like that at the moment, because we just don't know what's going to happen. We just don't know if we're going to stay in lockdown. I mean, the rise of home workouts has been phenomenal, and I can't see that stopping, because people now realize they don't have to pay £25 a class, jump on the tube, pay for the tube fare, spend half an hour traveling for an hour's class, spend half an hour traveling back. They can do that class at home. Maybe something more about virtual personal training. So maybe the doga thing is there for you, like the one-to-one stuff, because people are doing the home stuff. But the key thing that keeps coming up is motivation. People are lacking motivation now, whereas if they're in a class, they have to do the work because someone's on them all the time. Virtual personal training, maybe that's something that's going to take off.
But do you think, you know, I just like to think maybe in a month's time people will be out and about in parks starting to do their cross training with their personal training. You know, I just see the whole of London, all the parks full of one-to-ones in everything possible that you can do, you know.
Also couples workouts. The couples doesn't have to be with like a married partner, it can be with a friend, but things that you could do together so you get the benefits that you motivate each other, but then you're actually spending time with the quality people that you've missed rather than random people in the past.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just feel like the whole of Hampstead Heath will become one big workout space if authorities allow us to do things. Because my goal is to get a giant cardboard, you know, placard out there, yoga, you know, and then everybody just, you know, whoever wants to come at 2 meter distance, you know, just roll out your mats, come and sit down and, you know, just have that connecting feeling. And it really isn't at this point about the money. That really isn't the point. The point is to feel other people freely and, you know, connect. They had silent disco on Hampstead Heath. I absolutely enjoy that. Did you do this one? Silent disco dancing on Hampstead Heath?
I've done it at a few festivals, yeah.
Brilliant. My goodness. I mean, we look like a bunch of lunatics on Hampstead dancing up and down with our headphones. And I can't wait for them to be back. Honestly, just we're all waiting for nice weather and good weather too. So what's the future for Vicky Marie Gossard? What is the future? What are your plans now?
I look after a wellbeing supplement for Metro now, which is really taken off in lockdown. So it's 4 pages a week. It's every Wednesday and it's print and online. Jumped from 1 page a month to 4 pages a week. So, you know, it's really taken off during the pandemic because I think people want to feel well. They want to know what wellness and wellbeing is. So it's been fantastic to write that. So I just really hope that takes off a bit more, and the girls will be at school, so who knows where else I can write and what else I can do. Goodness. So it's quite exciting.
You'll always be I'm sure you'll be going forever.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiya, we're here to tell you about the Loose Lips podcast. We, being me, Georgie Porter,
and me, Sharon Carpenter, we're all about honesty and not holding back, especially when it comes to what's in the news.
Plus, we answer your questions and we give you advice whenever it's asked for.
Even when it's not asked for, we're all about what you're really thinking and what you really want to know.
You can expect to hear some of this.
I have to say, come on, people, we're getting a little too sensitive here.
And also some of this.
She is plugging her entire career in that one moment.
That's the Loose Lips podcast, out every Tuesday, and not forgetting Extra Lippy on Fridays.
Find it wherever you found this podcast. We'll see you there.
Are you ready for a little bit of yoga, maybe? A little bit of
yoga
meditation?
Yeah,
let's do it. So I'm just gonna check, where is Buster with you at the moment? Where is he? If you can just tell me. He's on the floor. And are you sitting on the floor or are you sitting in a chair?
I can get on the floor, that's not a problem.
Ideally, you want to get as close to Buster as possible without him feeling intimidated.
Come in, lay down.
Good boy.
Hello, Buster. Oh, how wonderful. Okay. Bring the palms of your hands into prayer position. And I always start the session with a big om. So you're welcome to chant with me. You don't have to. You can just hear the sound. But just to get the initiation and to align ourselves with our body, our physical body, our mind body, our emotional body, our metaphysical body. Just going to take a deep breath through the nose, inhaling. If you remember the breathing in yoga, deep breathing through the nose. You'll hear my breath. Exhaling deeply. And then again, inhale. And then exhale. I can hear it. Fantastic. Inhale. Exhale. And now just make eye contact with Buster when you chant. Inhale. And again, inhale. And if he starts to look at you, just keep the eye contact. Doesn't matter what they think. Inhale. As you just keep the breathing going through the nose, inhaling, exhaling, one more inhale, exhale, just want you to breathe into Buster, drawing the breath into yourself. And then exhaling into Buster, just send the exhale over to him, almost telepathically, you know, like just allow the breath to travel onto Buster. Good, great. Inhale. And exhale. And today we're going to do a third eye chakra meditation, just focusing on our drishti between the eyebrows. We're just going to breathe into our third eye slowly. Exhale through the third eye. Imagine a little eye between the eyes, you know, a little Egyptian eye, you know, the evil eye. Slowly inhale. Breathing into that third eye. Exhale. Very nice. And just start to release and soften behind the eyes. Feel the shoulders relaxing and dropping on the exhalation. Very nice. And then very slowly, what we're going to do is keep the palms together today. And just focus on Buster's third eye. Close your eyes and see Buster's eyes. And just imagine breathing into his third eye, connecting to yours and to his together. Slowly inhale. And exhale through Buster's third eye. Good breathing. And again, inhale into your third eye. Exhale through his third eye. Slowly inhale, keep the eyes closed for yourself. Exhale, just visualize his face, his eyes, very nice. Really look between his eyes, really see that point, really focus. Exhale. If you start feeling some release at the crown of your head, just enjoy that feeling above the crown of your head, softening any tension at the crown of your head, the back of your neck. Keep breathing. Any tension, release. Still keeping your eyes closed, inhale. Exhale. And now just see the crown of Buster, the head of Buster, the whole crown of the head, the ears, the third eye, the top of the head. Breathe into his crown, into his ears, into his third eye. The softer your eyes and your gaze becomes, the more you are ready now to open your eyes and just look at Buster and breathe into him. See his eyes again, his third eye, his face, the crown, and breathe into him. Just become fully aware of your dog. Now we're just going to breathe in gratitude and breathe out gratitude for Buster. Smile. Doesn't matter if he acknowledges you, just really send that love to him. Breathing in, breathing out gratitude. Really feel your heart center. The energy between your shoulder blades. Crown of the head. And now just make a little wish and send that wish to Buster. Just a little wish, whatever it is, for yourself. Slowly inhale a little wish and then send it to Buster. Inhale. And exhale. And just see if he acknowledges it. Yeah, one more. Inhale. He'll make that wish come true. And one little inhale. And exhale. And the final one, which is really the heart opener, is to make a wish for Buster. Just a little wish for him. Just a little gift you want to send him. It can be that he gets cured from his pain, or just prolonging his life, or sending him happiness. Or more walks, whatever. Really feel it from your heart. And once you complete the prayer, we're going to seal it with Om, the sound of Om, one more time. Inhale. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace for all living beings, yourself, your family, your children, your husband, the dog, your mom, the house. I hope this was nice, Vicky, to
yes,
have a little time out. Yes.
Busy and day.
Yeah, there's sometimes no time to acknowledge our living beings around us. And just, you know, you can put some music on and just breathe into your dog and just send him some energy while you're going off the laptop. So this is really good when you're stuck to the laptop a lot, your eyes are hurting. You can also rub the palms together and place the palms of your hands on your eyes to soften the backs of the eyes. The third eye, it's really important. And it really eases your eyes. I spoke to an eye doctor and they explained to me that it's really important for at least a minute to look out of the window every sort of hour. Just look out so you're softening the head, because it is very exhausting for the eyes. So I hope this has been helpful, a little tip from my end.
No, thank you, it's lovely. Buster enjoyed that. He was he had his paw on my leg the whole time.
Oh, Buster. And I hope to see Buster in real life, Vicky. As soon as we have events, I will let you know. And you know, we are looking forward to International Doga Day, June 21st, the big doggy yoga day, hopefully outdoors, a big event to raise awareness of animal welfare. Obviously, it'll be much more across the board with mental health and dogs and everything this year. So also the dog meat trade and all this. But I think we're going to make this hopefully quite big. Paws crossed, June
21st. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Keep me posted. I'd love to.
I will. Absolutely. Vicky, it's such an honor to talk to you. Such an easy and light human being to talk to. I'm sure all the celebrities love talking to you.
Oh, thank you.
I wish you really all the best. And I can't wait to see you, you know, in the park or some crazy place in this part, you know, somewhere in the UK or somewhere on the planet. Timbuktu, you know.
Thank you, Marnie. It's been really lovely to talk to you.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with My Dog. Make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button so you never miss an episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcast, then please leave us a review and a 5-star rating. It helps others to find us. And talking of spreading the news, please tell another person about the podcast and help us reach more people and dogs. We'll be back with another episode, same time, same place, next week. Namapaw.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.